These people are looking for money. They will get into affairs. Women will get into affairs with men looking for money. We cheat our brothers and sisters looking for money of inheritance. There was a man that was sick. They prayed for him, he was not getting well. Finally, they started seeking God about his healing. And then the pastor said, I'm hearing, as we are praying, $5,000. $5,000. The man that was sick said, hold on. My brother and I, we were in business, but when he died, I declare all the assets and I give to the wife all that should be given. But there was a $5,000 that should have given her, I didn't give her. That time, that's a lot of money. Those days was around $5 million for $5,000. So the pastor said, go. Do you have the money? He said, yes, go. Give her the money and come back. Let's pray. He went, gave the money, came back. He was healed. Things are difficult now. But don't let the difficult things make you into somebody else. That's nowhere. All of us will face adversities and trials in life. But what will it make of your life? And what will your children say about you in time to come? So, let's beware. Let's do something this morning. Instead of going to use all our head to meet our needs, can we ask God to intervene for us personally? Wherever you are right now, can you just pray and say, Father, intervene? I know things are hard, things are difficult, but please intervene in my life. I don't want to go the wrong way. David said, Lord, be bountiful in your promise to me so that I will not follow the way of the sinner. See, Lord, if you have any specific need that is bothering you, now say, Lord, the Bible says, my God shall supply all your need. You don't have to. You don't have to resort to all kinds of underhanded ways of doing things. Money can be harmful. And say, Father, I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. Thank you for meeting my needs. Thank you for supplying my needs. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Can you open your eyes? I learned two things in life in the area of money. In my younger days, I didn't learn it, but as I grew up older, I learned it. I learned two things most. Learn to put money aside, no matter how tight things are. And second, wait. 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 Don't rush things. Learn to wait. No matter how tough, put something aside. Women do that, they put something in their bag all the time that the husband will resort to. Put something aside. And second, wait. Trust God and wait. Hallelujah. I must say, I've been trusting God and waiting. I don't see anything. You are not really trusting God. Because if you are trusting God, you won't be talking like that. I've seen his hand jumping in. Pastor, how do you wait? Very simple. I wait, not just waiting. I wait on the Lord. When I'm waiting, I'm saying, Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm holding on to you. I know you will not fail. I don't wait like this. God, where are you? And I go and play, do my own thing. I say, God, when are you coming now? I don't do that. I keep talking to him. And he shows up. I've seen him several times, helping me. Praise God. Praise God. I said, praise God. Let's go to the next book. Then we have something to discuss today, very explosive. It's a contemporary issue. How many of you have prayed about your need just now? How many of you prayed? Now tell somebody beside you, confess your faith. My Lord will supply all my needs. Say that again. Tell that person, the Lord will supply all my needs I trust him and he will show up. Can you clap your hands for Jesus? Somebody, hallelujah. Praise God. Samuji, okay, we are into love, dear. I think we started a couple of... Yes, beautiful. You are on number two today.
Yes, sir.
Beautiful.
Good morning, church. Love is life's motivator. For Christ's love compels us. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 14. Anger can fuel hatred in a man's heart until he feels like attacking his enemy. But love can spark kindness in his heart, so he lays down his life for his friend. Selfishness can drive a woman to tighten her grip and hoard her resources. But love can inspire her to open her hands and give sacrificially. Love is the purest and most powerful motivator. It gives courage to a coward, wisdom to a fool. When love invades your heart, you are empowered to endure deeper pain, willingly pay a greater cost, and run risk to your reputation for the sake of another. Love causes a soldier to lay down his life for his country, a mother to pray relentlessly for her child, and a gracious God to send his only son to die for our sins. Love is that powerful. Paul the Apostle endured beatings, intense persecution, and hardship throughout his life. He did it for one reason alone. Christ's love compelled him. If love began fueling your decisions, what would it drive you to do for your marriage? Go deeper. Read 1 Corinthians 13. After you have read it, read verses 4 to 7 again. This time, replace the word love or it with your first name. Thank you.
Love is patient and kind. To the emotion is patient and kind. And first time you say that to yourself, you will laugh because you are not patient and kind. Something happened in our country in the last couple of days, and it has generated a lot of things on social media. Saturday, before the last one, one of our rich men in our country, a banker, died suddenly in the U.S. I didn't notice quickly until last Sunday? So I just saw Wigwe could click until my wife said, that's essence. Something just jumped and then, you know, literally I was not myself for him. You know, you have a kind of a weep with those who weep. You know, lost himself, lost his wife, lost his son, himself gone. Just one day, and the father about 90 years old. And not only that, running one of the critical corporations in our country. And so I had to kind of really pull myself out of it. I don't know how people feel, but over the years, I've learned to really enter people's pain sometimes and get that done. And then it will come to lessons we can learn from this. Actually, the man was in U.S. on holiday going for Super Bowl. Super Bowl is like the World Cup for American football. American football is not America, it's not a World Cup. Football is the one that you run to yourself and kill yourself sometimes. Guys have... But I think it was their pastime as a family, and they went. They couldn't park their jets at Las Vegas because it was... There are a lot of people that are around to park, so you have to park somewhere else and take chopper to go. And the chopper had gone about four times. The fourth time or the fifth time, he entered there, and the rest is history. And as we go through that, What lessons are we going to learn? Number one, money is not everything. He just finished a house costing billions of naira in Ikoyi, wired up. He didn't plan to die. If it was money. So, as we go after dollars and naira, as we jackpot to Lagos and jackpot to UK, money is not everything. You don't know what I go through. I've had people down around me. I lost somebody yesterday. They thought that hospital would do it, but he breathed his last yesterday. I face all kinds of things sometimes. So money is not everything. Money couldn't stop the crash. In recent times, if I've been following stories, usually a lot of these billionaires die by a plane crash. Usually chopper or something going somewhere. Kind of thing. So that's the first one. Then the second one that's going on right now. Did he go to church? Is he going to heaven or not? I don't know. Are we sure? His good works. So let's take a lesson and learn some things today. The issue of life and death. I'd like you to know that this planet has its own way of doing things. I can tell you surely that the moment he left and he came out of his body, all that he was didn't matter anymore. The credit card, the express card, the dollars, the stuff. Now, please, don't start feeling like this. Because you get to practice here. Are you hearing me? So don't start thinking, it's not Ashon. Get that. That was Solomon under the Old Testament, under the sun. We are in Christ, not under the sun. So don't think this life is just, if this life is just useless, Christ won't come here and become a human being. Christ glorified life by coming here. Clap your hands for Jesus. Amen, somebody. So let's get that. But the question is this. How does God determine who goes to hell? Somebody will say, for instance, if you go to their family and say, are you sure your son is in heaven? His family will say yes. His enemy will say no. Are you sure? But you know what? God has not left that to any one of us over here to determine. The moment he came out of his body, his wife and everybody else, they come out, they know instantly where they belong. Because when you go to exam hall and you finish writing an exam, when results come out is your results. Are you hearing me? So, but before we have exam, we can read. Abeko. So let's read some things in the Bible about the issue of that death, life, heaven, hell. Jesus gave a fantastic story. Let's go down there, Luke 16. Fantastic story. Oh, I wish you were here on Friday. I talk about teach us to number our days. I talk about three things about life. Life has stages, phases, and portions. You can go and listen to it online. I woke up. I flipped out like that. And I came back. I'm hearing, count your, teach us to count our, to number our days. And I had those three words. And we got into it. Let's go to Luke 16. Let me open my Bible. Let's use this moment to learn and beware and be aware. Luke 16. Jesus was talking. Let's start from verse 14. Now, the Pharisees, please look up. This story is about life and death and hell. But let's start from here. Now, the Pharisees who were lovers of money, that should be impossible. Pharisees were the keepers. They were lovers of money, also had all these things, and they derided or insulted Jesus. What did they hear? Let's look at some things they had before this time. This is verse 14. Let's look at verse 13. And he said, no servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he'll be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon or money. He didn't say you cannot use money. You can use money. But he said you cannot serve God and money. Hallelujah. So when Jesus said that, let's look at the reaction of Pharisees. These were the religious leaders. And let me tell you, religious leaders, they like money. I'm not a religious leader. I'm not into religion. They like money. Next verse, verse 14. Now the Pharisees who were lovers of money. You see, these are the people who set up places in the church according to the money you have. When you are richer, they give you place. They have in their churches seat for senators and house of rep. They have for billionaires and millionaires. They grade their accounting based upon how, when even in Pentecostal churches, when they see you are rich, they make you a deacon or a deaconess. Pastor, when are you going to appoint deacons in this church? When we are above 5,000 and we have too much food to distribute. They appointed the first deacons in the Bible because they had to give food to the widows and they were over 5,000. So we have deacons when we have that. Are you hearing me? Pastor, what's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me. I'm just telling you the truth. They had these things. Now look at next verse. I love this. And he said to them, you are those who justify yourself before men. But God knows your heart. For what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Let's have it in NLT. NLT. Quickly. NLT. Then he said to them, you like to appear righteous in public. But God knows your heart. What this world honors is detestable in the sight of God. You know, that's why I'm very careful with my life. Because I'm not living for today or tomorrow. I'm not living for a lifetime. Everybody here is eternal. Everybody here will live forever, depending on where your location is. So I'm very careful because I learned that in secondary school. In secondary school I went to, it didn't matter at the end of the day. What mattered most is the wahek I took out of that place. Am I right? I got friends in secondary school. But when the result came out, we were separated. So stop really honoring what the world is honoring. If I see the world honoring certain things, I'm very careful about them. Look at. Sorry, I'm talking a little bit personal this morning. We honor people like Davido that have baby mama. We never honor marriage. Those who are working every day, who are struggling to feed their families, who are trying to come back home and things are difficult, we will not honor them. But we'll honor that guy that comes out naked and then having 3 or 10 baby mama. So what men honor, God detests. And Christ told them, you will appear righteous in public. Hallelujah. So let's keep reading. Christ was really, until John the Baptist, the law of Moses and the message of the prophet were your guides. But now, the good news of the kingdom of God is preached and everyone is eager to get in. So something's changing now. Something is happening. Jesus said, you don't understand what's going on now. Before this moment, the law and the prophet were speaking under the Old Testament. So things are going to change now. God is bringing the good news of the kingdom. And everybody who is, now, before that time, before this time, Moses and the prophet determined your fate in life. But now he says something is changing. God's bringing up the good news of the kingdom, the gospel. And everyone should be eager to get in there. Because God is changing the stage. And then something happens next. He started giving us a story. Let's read. Next verse. For example, a man who divorces his wife and marries someone else commits adultery. And anyone who marries a woman divorced from her husband commits adultery. Next verse. Let's stop there. I'm causing trouble this morning, right? We are looking at life. And life is bound up in relationships. Now, there's something about money you have to be very careful of. They just warn us now. Money has a way of affecting your relationships. When you start having money, you start having new life of relationships. Start attracting other kind of people. And if you are not careful, particularly in your intimate relationship, you can start, you are doing that. When somebody is really after, when somebody loves money, they mess up their marriages usually. They connect because of money. So can I plead with you today? Be very careful in the issue of marriage. Don't just walk away anyhow, except it's important. And when you walk away, please walk decent. You understand? Why? All this matter about our life overall. Let's not just think that we can just do something in life and do certain good works, give people some money, and God satisfied. It's more than that. So let's hear this story now, where we are going. Let's read NLT. Jesus said there was a certain rich man who was splendidly clothed in purple and fine linen and who lived each day in luxury. He had dollars. Lot of it. Purple and fine linen, they were the dresses of the royalty those days. And he lived every day in luxury, so he never fasted. Next verse. At his gate lay a poor man named Lazarus, who was covered with sores. Let's go on. As Lazarus lay there longing for scraps from the rich man's table, the dogs will come and lick his open sores. I know it's not that man's dogs. The rich man's dogs, they don't lick sores. There are dogs staying around the gate. Because those dogs, they are... What do you call them now? Where's the brother? What do you call those dogs? Those rich man's dogs. No, my partner will say, let's buy dogs. I say, eti jenfo, emma mawa jenfo dog. Some of those food of dogs, they cost a lot of money. Am I right? Give me an idea, how much? Per sachet or something? What? 50 kg. 60,000. Rice is how much? How many kg? So the dogs will come and lick his open sores. That's my village dogs. Next verse. Finally, the poor man died. Guess who died first? He had to die first now. The man no well. No be well now. Things no day. No get dollar. And and was carried by the angels to be with Abraham. The rich man also died and was buried. Stop there. Notice that when the poor man died, there was nothing about burial there. But when the rich man died, it's called to glory. I saw that there's some tomb in Lagos where they put AC. Are you hearing me? I mean, can you imagine? Graveyard, to put AC. Like a digital one. Let's go on. Next verse, quickly. And his soul went to the place of the dead. There, in torment, he saw Abraham in the far distance, Lazarus at his side. Let's stop there. So the question is, do you mean that if you are rich, you are going to hell? Let's keep reading. The rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames. But Abraham said to him, son, remember that during your lifetime you had everything you wanted. Lazarus had nothing. So now he's here, being comforted, and you are in anguish. You know, Abraham was reminding him, so memory of this life will stay with you. for a long time to come. Don't ever think it's just, it's gone. Our brain is not actually where memory is. It's in our soul, in our heart. Of course, some memory will not be kept of life here. Why was Abraham telling him this? Now, please, can you look up, everybody? Look up over here. This man's philosophy, when he was here, you're going to have a life philosophy. You know what's philosophy? I got it here. My life is here. I'm going to enjoy to the top. I'm going to be my best man. Forget about everything. Well, Abraham, you know, Lazarus, Elijah, tell you why, you know. Elijah, tell me why. So Abraham reminded him, you said that your philosophy is coming to pass now. You said this life is your own. You have got your own life now. I just didn't have this life now. He's now comforted. But you know what somebody said? Is there anything like a hell? Look at verse 24. Rich man shouted, Father Abraham, have some pity. Send Lazarus over here to dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue. I'm in anguish in these flames. Don't let anybody fool you. Don't let any pastor fool you. There's a hell. There's a fire that burn human soul forever. The rich man was in that, he was begging. Rich men don't beg. They pay for it. And he was begging. Let him come cool my tongue. I don't have time to tell you about this. This is not only who you are. The person you are is inside this body. He has eyes. He has ears. He has finger. Your spirit. You see, your clothes looks like you. My clothes fits me, not you. My body fits me. I have eyes. I have head. Spirit, body. I got spirit. I got body. And that spirit is not just floating like spirit. It's a tangible person. It moves around. In fact, if I stand beside my spirit, you won't know who the person is except you really, really open your eyes. Because my spirit, my body looks like my spirit. It has eyes, it has fingers. His body was buried under AC, but his soul, his spirit was in torment in hell. Now, Pastor, why did he go to hell? Let's get it straight. Not because he had money. Because Abraham had money too. Let's take a look. Genesis 13. Abraham had money too. Verse 1. So Abraham left Egypt and traveled north into the Negev along with his wife and Lot and all that they owned. Next verse. And Abraham was very, very struggling all the time. What did he do? Was very rich in what? In livestock and silver and gold. Second proof, 24 Genesis. Let's hear from the manager of Abraham. Can you imagine you have a manager? How many of you have a manager here running your enterprises? Abraham had a manager. Let's hear from him. 24:34 Genesis. 24:34 Genesis. Quickly, let's go. 24:34 Genesis. I'm Abraham's servant, he explained. Next verse. And the Lord has greatly blessed my master. He has become what? A very poor man. Huh? A very wealthy man. The Lord has given flocks of sheep and goat, herds of cattle, a fortune in silver and gold, and many male and female servants, and camels and donkeys. You know what I found out in my 60 years on earth? When you have money, you can do much more good. Are you hearing me? Abraham, Bible said he had 318 servants born in his house. You hear what I just said? How many of you housemates bought your house? he oversaw 318 naming ceremonies before he had Isaac. It was not one man. Don't think Abraham was just one guy, poor one man, at one corner, trusting God to have a child. No, it was a big empire. It was like what you call Arab Sheikh. You know what you call Sheikh? I don't mean shake and don't call Rabbi, Rabbi Buta. I don't mean Afa too much. Look at Arab oil merchants. So you can see Abraham was very rich. In fact, Lazarus was still managing with him. Can you imagine? He was so great that he had a place in heaven called Abraham's bosom. May you have a street in heaven. To me, that would be very nice. When we get to heaven, and I'm passing by, say, that's to me street. To me, girl. To me street. I take a lot of woe. Let's go back to Luke 16. Where do we stop? Who can remind us? Luke 16, if you're writing your notes down. Where do we stop? Verse 20 what? 25. Let's go back. Luke 16, 25. Let's look at what was going on in his life. Okay. So nice. Yeah, next verse. And then look at this. And beside, there is a great chasm separating us. No one can cross over to you from here, and no one can cross over. So Abraham was saying, look here, after this life, you just can't cross. So Roman Catholic is lying to us as a purgatory. Toba say, one day, alone, I can summon me. With the wicked gone. Olorun wa so me ba so me so me I can so me my go pass hell I will land at the gate of heaven. Olodu. You think God doesn't look they can feel that right? Let me leave you alone. Let's go on. Let's look at, we are going to hear from the rich man what was the problem. Why was he in hell? Are we here, everybody? Are we here, everybody? Why did he go to hell? You tell us now. Abraham said, please, Father Abraham, at least send him to my father's home. So in hell, memory of family will be there. Oh, mom is not here. What? Oh, she slept for me, but not here. For her five brothers, and I want him to warn them. So they don't end up in this place of torment. Give me an NKJV. I got five brothers that he may testify to them, lest they also come to this place of torment. As a place of comfort, as a place of torment. And what takes you there is not just because somebody described you as a good person after you die. You know, you go to court, you hear all kinds of things. Have you ever heard about it? All this APC and PCP, PDP, I said PCP. PDP. They go to court, they wonder who will win the case, and then here will come. Supreme Court will say, case, can you come transferred? Then everybody calm down. And then they will say, PDP or APC, my father more. And they say, they are happy. They go to Supreme Court. They will say, we declare that. Then you see the lawyer coming out after collecting plenty of money. We'll have to abide by Supreme Court, though we disagree. So he said, go tell my brothers. That's a place of torment. Go testify to them. I'm a few of you, I'm looking at you now. It's money. Pastor, I know my job. I've been okay. But I don't know. And the kind of dollars, you know, Wigwe, moment he died, all that didn't matter again. I don't know where he went. I'm not his maker. I know one thing from this story. We'll find out now. He said, go warn them. I'm warning you today. Look at next verse. And he said, Abraham said to him, they have Moses and the prophet. Let them listen to them. Give us in NLT. They got Moses. They got synagogue. Oh, can you read? Abraham said, Moses and the prophet have warned them. Your brothers can read what they wrote and they can hear them in church. See, you know what? Let me tell you something. What determines your faith in eternity is this book. You may not determine your faith in law in London Business School, but your eternity hangs on this book. You may say, Pastor, Tinle and so on. Abraham said, they got Moses. Thank God the Lord. Today we can say, you got Jesus and the apostles. Are you hearing me? You listen to them. They preach salvation message. They preach repentance. You know, it's very easy to come to church. Sit down there. You can attend church. Hear one or two things. Give little offering or some offerings and walk away. And never attend to the care of your soul. There was a rich man, great man. He was the finance minister for a whole country, the Queen of Candace. She was coming back from the synagogue or the temple worship in Jerusalem. On his way, he opened the Bible, started reading, because he knew that this book had to do with his eternity. Let's keep reading. Rich man replied, "No, Father Abraham. If someone is sent to them from the dead, then they will see that word." They will what? Okay, so if you are going to go to heaven, you have to repent. If you never repented, you are heading straight to hell. Repent means to turn. If you are going this way, you will never get to that prof over there without turning. So repentance is the key to going out of hell torment to heaven, to God's comfort. If you don't repent of your ways, they have told you over and over again, you still come to church, do what you like. Ignore the law of Moses, ignore Jesus, ignore the apostles. So they will repent of their sins and turn to God. You don't have to repent to come to church. You don't have to repent. Just come to church, sit down, and like pastor, and give some money, and bless pastor. Pastor will not consider you because I don't see your heart. We lift people, but once in a while it will show, but we can't get it very clear. But that day, when you step out of your body, you know where you belong. You know, sometimes if you are not careful, we can just make God a place of comfort, not a place of salvation. Ah, Oluwa Namilowo, Oluwa Sibai, Oluwa Sibai. Ah, breakthrough on our bio. But your own life, your eternity, has it been considered? Somebody said, "I'm too young to die." So was Wigwe. Can I say this to you? After his death, many have died too. I hope you know that. Somebody close to me died yesterday. They gave me a call, running through his phone. They called me. And if you don't die now, you will die one day. You know, let me make you laugh. When we were at the mortuary, I was saying, everybody will die. I said, doctors will die. Accountants will die. Somebody told me it was uncomfortable. He said, pastors will die too. To Moses and the prophet. They won't listen if someone rises from the dead. So, our key to life, Jesus said, the kingdom has come now, and we can embrace Jesus, and we can take him as our Savior. Now, pastor, are you saying that repentance is the key? Yeah, to turn to God. Like the prodigal son, his life was heading downhill. Am I right? He was losing and losing and losing and losing, but he stopped and said, "I'm going back home. I'm going to my father." That's repentance. He turned. He turned. Have you turned to God? Have you really embraced God? Have you really embraced that Christ died for your sin? Pastor, you're on the sin. See, you are still on your way. He said, "My ways are not your ways, and my thoughts are not your thoughts. As the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways and my thoughts are higher than your thoughts." Let me show you another rich man. Look. That same Luke chapter 19, verse 1. Let's see a rich man. Hallelujah. Verse 1. Jesus entered Jericho and made his way through the town. Let's keep reading. And there was a man there named who? The chief tax collector in the region. And he had become was a custom man. You know customs. Rice, He become very rich. Next verse. He tried to get a look at Jesus, but he was too short to see over the crowd. Short men rule the world. What he didn't have for height, he had for pocket. Those who are short, they are dangerous. Those of us who are tall, we help them get the load down for them. My wife will say, well, Tony, grow up now. I said, what are you here for? Get it for me. Too short. By the way, everybody's too short in life. When it comes to God, all of us here are too short. You can't reach God. So what did he do? Look at next verse. I love this. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore fig tree beside the road, for Jesus was going to pass that way. That's a tree we can climb to see God. It's called the cross of Calvary. Clap your hands for Jesus, somebody. Whoa, glory. Glory. I've come to the cross. I've come to embrace Jesus. You see, you know why he was rich? He knew where people are going, and he went there before them. He looked ahead. Where will Jesus go? He goes back to it. He climbed up the tree, was waiting there. Next verse. When Jesus came by, he looked up at Zacchaeus and called him by name. Shocking truth. Zacchaeus, I warn you, you are going to hell. That would say, no. Come down quick. I must be a guest in your home today. Wow. Glory. You know, it's like, are you here, everybody? Are you here, everybody? Who's the latest EFCC boss? Who can tell me? It's not Magu. Magu has gone. Okay, just imagine you are a criminal in town and then you get a phone call from EFCC boss. I'm coming to eat dinner in your house. What will you do? Where's the best available flight? Out of the country. Jesus said, hey, he knows him. He knows his stories. He said, I'm coming to eat dinner in your house. And what happened next? Next verse. Oh, I love this. Zacchaeus quickly climbed down and took Jesus to his house in great excitement and joy. Zacchaeus, though rich, received Jesus Christ. Now, let me show you the signs of rich men who know Jesus. You want to know? Let's read the next verse. And the people were displeased. He has gone to be the guest of what? Notorious sinner. They grumbled. Now look at the answer. I love this. This is the sign of those who are rich, that are actually repented and following God. But meanwhile, Zacchaeus stood before the Lord and said, I will give half of my wealth to who? Lord. And if I've cheated people on their taxes, I will give them back four times as much. See, what happened to him? When you actually repented, it affects the way you spend your money. It affects the way you live. Don't tell me you repented and keep on living the way you have been living before. No, that's not true. If I say I turn, I'm coming this way, and I turn from going this way. And when I turn and I keep on seeing the microphone there, I've not turned. Next verse. The Lord is appointed. Salvation has come to this home today. For this man has shown himself to be a true son of Abraham. Wow. That rich man too called Abraham Father Abraham. But he was a fake son of Father Abraham. Not a real son of Father Abraham. Why? He didn't repent. And this guy embraced Jesus and began to spend for God and for people. Show me a person who has repented. Show me a person who is walking with Jesus. He takes other people's lives serious. And he starts mending and making his way better. So, let's stop. You go to hell because you don't repent. And you go to heaven because you repent and embrace the Lord Jesus. And when you really embrace Jesus, he will show how you spend your money. You show in how you take care of your life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Somebody said, do I have to care about how I spend my money, what I do with life? Tell your neighbor, life will turn out good for you. Life will turn out good for you. Say that to me again. Life will, don't worry about what's going on now. So let's embrace God now. Let's walk with God now. Can I say this to you? You cannot go and meet God after life here. The God you are not familiar with. If you go to Lagos, you can just take any phone number and call, say, I'll come and spend time with you. If you are not familiar with him. If you are not familiar with God on this planet, in this lifetime, guess what? After this life is over. So, we don't know where Wigwe has gone. We don't know. But we know one thing. If he's familiar with God, or live with God, he'll go and meet his father, heaven. But if he's not, his fate is sealed. Is that all right? Is that clear? Do you understand that now? The question finally is, have you repented yourself? Have you really embraced Jesus, Lord and Savior? Have you opened up to him and live your life to be open to him? Let's close our eyes this moment. Somebody said, I'm not sure. You can just say, Lord, I really want to walk with you. I think everybody here has renewed their allegiance and say, Lord, you are my Lord in this lifetime. I'm glad you sent your son Jesus to die for me. I believe his blood was shed for me. And I thank you that I can start a walk, that I'm walking with you. I trust you for grace to go through life, getting familiarized with you, knowing your ways, and when this life is over, you will welcome me indeed into the everlasting home you have for me. Thank you that you are my father. Thank you for the cross of Calvary. Thank you. Thank you. I give you all the glory and all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Can you say this after me? Lord Jesus, I've heard your word today. I want you to say it with all your heart. I've heard your word today. I will not be like that rich man and his five brothers who never listened when the word was being read. I've heard your word today. And I join force with the Holy Spirit. And I open up my heart to you. Father God, I want to walk with you all my life. Jesus, you are my Savior. Today, I will not go back to living like the rest of the world. I'll keep walking with you. Thank you. I proclaim with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. One more time. I proclaim with my mouth, Jesus is Lord. Lift your hand, let's thank him. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. You know, when we are praying, you know what I noticed when we are praying? That rich man never mentioned God in all he said in hell. Notice that? Never mentioned God. It was only after his comfort. Cool my tongue. Never mentioned. He called Abraham. He didn't call God. Amazing. I just saw it. He had practiced the habit of forgetting God. Psalm 9, verse 17. The wicked shall be torn into hell. And all so that forget God. He had forgotten God. He didn't even remember God in hell. Give us in NKJV. You hear the word forget there. Tell anybody, don't forget God. Don't forget God. Don't forget God. God matters. We sing that song. You are all. Come choir, let's do it. Maybe that should be our song today. You have a song already? I know. Let's do it. We will still sing our song. Can we do it together? Do you mean it? Give us the song on the screen.
You and I, Jesus, you are all the matter.
Yes, Lord.
You are all the matter.
For two. Sing it sincerely.
I'll put you in front.
Not behind, I forget you.
In front of my melody. You are all the matter. You are all the matter.
I'll make room for two.
I'll make room for two.
You and I, Jesus. I make room.
I'll make room for two.
You and I.
You and I, Jesus. You are all the matter. You are all the matter.
Hallelujah. 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 You know, that song is just meaningful to me. In my life, whatever I face, I make room for the two. Jesus, you are here, and I'm here. Jesus, going through life together. So when this life is over, we continue the journey to eternity. I make room for you and I, Jesus.
I'll make room for you. You and I, Jesus. You and I.
For two, I make room for two.
You and I, Jesus, you are all the matter.
Have you made room for him?
I'll make room for two. You and I, Jesus, you are all the matter.
Give our offering now. Not because we have all the money, but because we have a supplier, a provider. you know, this time that things are difficult, we are still to God committed. We are still serving Him. So let's bring our offering before the choir will sing. Let's bring our offering. Say, Father, I bring money. It's not my God. Money is not my God. You are my God, and I serve you with it. I know you take care of me, no matter how things are. You are the God who never fails. This week, I put you in front of my life. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name, let's give our offering. Choir will sing, and then we cut our cake and get out of here. Sorry.
That far, but you have pulled me close. You never let me go. I'm safe forever in your arms. Your